meeting to order. Time is about 5:29.
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Russ? Okay. Item number four on the agenda. Any matters added this time will be discussed during the other matters portion of this agenda. That's number eight. So we go on to number five, public comments. That's any not listed on this agenda. Not listed on the agenda. Anything new in the public hearing, we can hear it. Number six, for the board. Approval of November 7th minutes. Did everybody have a chance to go over them? Time. So I guess we get right into the meat of the agenda. Number seven, the public hearing. Under A, proposed City of Lapine Development Code, LPDC, and amendments to the comprehensive plan. Number one under that, A, is the staff report. We'll turn that over right now to Melissa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wanted to know about your property or what you can do. We would have to look in three different spots and then start with one ordinance and work backwards to see if anything was. What this code did, this grant, is they went and took all three of those codes and put them into one development code for us. Very user-friendly if you looked at it all. And added a couple things that through the public process, the community said they wanted over that two-year period and all those public, open, broadly advertised. One of them was an overlay zone for the downtown guidelines on there. And so the communities met, they decided on a very pretty easy to do design, which would be called Cascadian style, with the lingas that you're in, kind of some rock and stone, the natural aesthetic things, kind of more like you would see in Lapine. This is what Lapine tradition was implemented. And then the other cool thing that came out of it was Lapine did have a ordinance or a way to approve food trucks. We didn't have any mechanism to allow them in town. And so this code also puts food truck code for food trucks in. No zoning change, so if you're here because you're worried that your property with zoning was changing, no, it's not. Comment, written comment that you all have, not real clearly. We do this design and implement these design guidelines, it's probably we'll have on-street parking for Huntington. Parking will probably not be too much of a problem. And if it is, it's because we needed to change our comp plan to what we did with our downtown overlay and our new housing, allowing cluster and townhomes, which we already allowed. Fairly brief, so people have time to talk or ask questions. Oh, sorry. And your staff report addresses the state code and our
public testimony, number two. At this time, we'll open the public testimony. Okay, raise your hand, we'll step up to the chair, say who you are and where you live. State your name and where you live.
Hi, I'm Scott Henderson, and I live on Finley Butte. And this may be more of a question, I hadn't prepared myself so well, but this is what we're approving, right, the overlay? No.
This is what you're approving, it was online. Yeah,
okay. So, can I ask a question about this now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this overlay, looking at the map in here, I think, doesn't quite go down Finley Butte to Anchor Way, right?
Sorry, Tracy, can you put the map, Article 4? Yeah, it's in there.
Page 4-35. Maybe down. No, let's think that's fine. Question regardless, is Finley Butte going to be considered a arterial or a collector street, you know?
It's not changing. I mean, it is what it is now in our TSP, and I'm not up on what this, you know, arterial collector, not changing, because that's in our TSP, which is our transportation plan.
I
have
think
nothing
I'm,
to do with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm fine. It just caught me on note number three, no driveway access onto the central collectoral and neighborhood collectoral streets.
Where are
so
you
that could, that's on page 4-3.
4-3.
4-3.
Yeah.
The downtown overlay.
Right.
Which is that white dotted area.
That's on there.
Yeah.
Which, to me...
And that's only for new development. So existing stays same.
Okay.
We want...
Because that's what they had told me originally, and I didn't know if that was still going to be...
Yeah.
Because I don't have...
There's exceptions.
That might be a collector, but because of the... Anybody else?
17142 Norwalk Road, but I own a commercial building in Lapine.
Okay.
At 5267. I just want to compliment you and the city for the cleaning up of these codes and the ability as we go forward, be able to design an area like this. It's well thought out. Standards for the parks. I like the overlay. I like... Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Anybody?
You have questions?
Okay.
Okay, wait. Yeah.
State your name, your address.
Kim Russell, live on Salzer Street in the town of Lapine.
Okay.
Didn't set an early meeting, my fault. My only concern I see here is, I think in that boundary, in the near future, I'd like to see the park property to the west included as we develop the town. 150 acres.
The new property, right.
Yeah, that's a conversation we're having on this side.
Thank you.
Okay. Step forward. Don't be bashful, people.
Damaris, and I actually live outside the city limits, but I lay a part of the city of Lapine. And therefore, just that probably a simple, are they outside the city at this time? Or is that something you're looking to forward?
Not overlay is mainly for...
For the downtown.
For the downtown.
Right.
So some of the rule changes that I believe in here for some of the commercial building and things, are we going to be with the older rulings?
You can do the overlay area. It's a requirement that new development will have three things and do it.
And some of the setbacks have changed.
Right, certain family streets, storefront streets.
Right. And so will those be allowable outside the overlay?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, because that was my question.
Oh, we love that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I believe you're not the only one to ask that, too. So that's encouraging, and that's great. That's exciting.
Anybody else?
I'm sorry, it's true. Just so for, if you're a little shell-shocked here tonight, and this one, there is going to be another public hearing from the city council on the December...
Hancock. I live at 51308 Preble Way. And on this map, where Finley Butte is, and then you go down, what street is that? Is that Preble Way? I was just wondering, is there more of a detail that shows exactly what the street names are for your boundary?
Yeah, we'd have to pull out. This is just a faded, this is just showing inside the code, but we'd have to pull up dial and look exactly. I think that is Preble.
The dotted line?
This is Preble.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if I live on the east side of Preble, am I...
You're not in it.
Not. So I'm in the gray area then?
That's correct.
If I live on the east side?
That's running to... Preble is the dark line. The dark line, that's Preble.
Okay.
All right, so you're way out.
So I would be considered in the gray area?
So you're...
You're in the gray area.
Okay.
Sorry.
Not part of the overlay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is hard to...
My name's Randy Rhodes, and I live on Santa Barbara Drive in the city. My question is probably, you guys probably can't answer, but on 97, they've done a beautiful job, and sidewalks and everything, but they've got a line down there that's by the bike path that I don't understand. It's governance on it.
Right.
And my question is, there's already been a question about parking in Lapine. We get a lot of motor homes. We get a lot of travel trailers coming through here, trucks that don't have a parking place. They want to stop and get a hamburger or stop and get a taco burger. They all have to pull off down in there, you know, off the road in the dirt. Why can't they park along the street? Well, that, to me, that's, there's a lot of room there, and there's a bicycle lane, but the bicycle lane could be over there. But this town is known for camping and all that, so you've got all these travel trailers, and, you know, it is a difficult thing to find a parking place for a rig like that. Just a thought.
I
And that, and you know, if you don't know the answer to that Chevron thing, I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure it is.
I've asked people.
It's ODOT.
Yeah, it's a bike lane, but.
Well, no, the bike lane's on the right, and then in the middle is the Chevron thing. And we had one on both sides before they did the.
Now you got me curious.
But anyway.
So that is an ODOT project, by the way, but we are, for everyone to know, a different project is.
I do, and I see, you got two plans up here, and I like to see a wide open parking lot, is what I like to see.
One of the things we're now considering is RV parking, motor parking for part of it. So some of it, phase one, this is really off topic, so. One of the first phases we're gonna do is get the, there'll be a gravel future, you see that future phase of parking? And then we'll monitor and see what's that need and is it really.
Well, thank you.
We're looking at it.
Thank you. Okay.
Public comments, yes?
Can we talk about food trucks right now?
Food carts, whatever you wanna call them.
We have the okay on. I'm sorry, I'm Craig Grizz, I don't live in the, in town, but I'm on the Highlander. Anyways, they okayed us in two different locations to have a food cart there. What are the restrictions for food carts? Because this is all new to you guys.
For food trucks, I'm hoping I'm right. And I think just to have like one, went to a type 1, 2, 3, 4 permitting process.
That's a day or a weekend.
We are gonna make this easy. We're wanting to streamline it. If you do a pod, food cart pod, kind of like what the city's considering for the transit, only it's gonna be easy. So if somebody has a parking lot, they want.
It'll be fine. So like, I know there's requirements for restrooms. Is that 500 feet?
That's if you have three or more.
Three or more?
Three or more carts, then you gotta put in some, yeah, you're gonna have.
But you don't have to supply porta potty or none of that?
Nope.
Okay.
Who else if there's some available or something, but I haven't memorized yet.
Okay, that's fine. Also, their back lot is just a good lot that they have. If we decide to develop.
So I'm gonna be, this is gonna sound bad, but because you're talking about a specific piece of property, we can't do that. So let's have that conversation after this meeting.
That's fine.
We can talk to food carts in general. I can tell you what the code says because it's new and it's specific property. Let's talk about that and we'll get you.
So down Huntington, as far as that goes, who's responsible for the sidewalks going?
If you have a land use development that development that triggers a land use application, the developer will be responsible if that has been, that hasn't changed. So.
Pavement, can't be gravel.
No.
Okay, that answers my question.
Earlene McDonald, I live outside of the city limits, but on Morrison is the Grange. It's the only historic building in Lapine. There is a restaurant, bar, lounge going in on Huntington. They're afraid not adequate parking. Can we put up a fence?
You're asking a question about a specific piece of property. So,
right.
And fences are, we'll talk after. Yeah.
Please, because we see it as a potential problem or a cut through.
And that's not relevant to this code, so
no,
we'll talk. Yeah.
But we are, Morrison is within.
It is
that
for development.
Area.
Yeah.
Is anything planned on that street?
Morrison is in the downtown overlay, so whenever we do design
sidewalks.
There, so when we do the design of Huntington, Morrison's included in that. I should have specified.
Our building is right on the street.
Perfect.
High sidewalk is going to cut.
Yeah.
Fine.
Eventually.
Yes, but that's what we needed to know on this historic building.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. We have no frontage there.
That's perfect. That's
okay.
It'll be good.
Okay.
Public comment. Close the public testimony. And we'll go on to number for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to let the metal containers on that one. So staff recommendation for 15.80.060.
That's
shipping containers.
It has the wording. That's Article 5, so 5-3. The city has, this is just for you to know when you were looking through it, if you went and you were, you're a code, you know, a code buff and you were so excited about this like I am, and you went on and read every single one of these articles, the italicized was existing code, so you'll notice a lot of this is just existing code. It was already in place. It's not. And one of them she's about to show is regarding metal shipping containers. Says they won't be placed on commercial sites unless except for 30 days or less, unless approved by the city. That causes great heartburn for a planner, because I don't want to tell this to somebody no and then no and then yes, and to get to have some kind of black and white. If it's 30 days or less, it's 30 days or less for everybody. So there's some language in there left over from the old code that we just want to strike, or I would recommend as staff that we strike the "or as otherwise approved as the city." So I'm not in that.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, that's okay. Page 3, close the public hearing. I guess it's up to you if you
want to reopen. I like the idea of the research on
you say on that?
Yeah, I'd like to comment. Good.
Building, like new building, the limitation for 30 days on the storage container.
That's correct.
So when they built Grocery Outlet in Dollar Tree, those containers were still there. But I think that's necessary as projects I've done, sometimes if you do a remodel project or something, that time seems too short to me.
30 days after the construction?
It says 30 days for short-term use for construction or relocation. So here's the thing. It's more about the aesthetic quality of having a storage container, and is it doing, you know, certain things once the construction's over?
Yeah, that's different.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah. Right, forces, obviously. It's not been high on the priority and some other things, and our priority. However, it is coming up, and it's being used. They're becoming. So I don't mind this 30 days. I have a problem with this, me having the discretion to say, yes, you can, and then having somebody come in. So, for instance, and I'm going to put myself on the spot and get really big in trouble because this is all on record. Parks and Rec has storage containers. St. Vincent de Paul has storage containers. Dollar General. So if I tell Dollar General they can't have their storage container, I have to go to Parks and Rec and I have to go to St. Vincent de Paul and say the same thing. I don't want to be in that position. I want to be, the 30 days or less.
New construction project, if you had it, the building is
I'm not forcing that. I mean,
complete, you know, it can stay, give or take a little.
If your project lasts, I'm considering it, like I said, we're still sitting out there with storage container, then I can go say, your building's open. Yeah. It's not like I'm out there waiting and taking off time. I don't have the time to do that. So
it's the one that's going to stay for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's not on my, I'm not out there.
In other words, it's supposed to be a temporary thing.
Right.
All somebody is doing is it becomes a permanent thing. Now it's become a real problem.
It's just a code kind of cleanup for me.
Gotcha.
It's not anything. It was already in code. We're just cleaning up to make it fair across the board and not put me in a position of having to. You want to do the next one? That's on your list, I'm sure.
Mark, I live on Hollingshead, place in the Crescent Creek subdivision. I'm just curious, when you mentioned the Parks and Rec having the containers out there, in that situation, they've been there for quite some time. They mostly have chairs and tables in there.
Yep.
Would they have to get a permanent storage thing or something like that in there?
Like I said, I didn't want to get in trouble by opening this up. It's very obvious we're not enforcing this code. I'm cleaning it up. So, just want to strike that one phrase. My policy is to work gently with people, so
okay.
We're cleaning it up. So,
Eventually, hopefully,
we
get it cleaned up.
We want them to have other alternatives than having big, and they're going to want that too. They're going to want to use that property for different things. So, this has been in the code since the city was established. So
it hasn't been enforced. Like a lot, we didn't have the people force it, but it's been in the code.
I'm not going out on a witch hunt tomorrow to get rid of all the containers
right.
in town.
That
was
city codes.
Maybe.
We'll say it seems to be getting. We seem to be getting more.
We seem to be getting more. It's going to come up. Yeah, I'm not saying we're never going to enforce it. I'm just saying it's. This is just one little. Next one that I think you guys had discussed in the workshop was the. The fences and walls, so that Tracy, that is 5-7, so two pages. That was where you had the electric fence inside a fence, and we want to get rid of that. And that's new language. We're just gonna that's a little obsessive.
Agreed on that.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. So staff is recommending that when you make your motion to make sure that's in there also. I think we would all.
All right. What else?
Article 6-10 talked about the temporary city council had made motion in one, or made a comment in one of their get a recommendation that they allow temporary manufactured dwellings for medical hardship, kind of like what the county does for 1 year. The code enforcement and some other people like having someone for a medical hardship for 1 year put a manufacturer, it's a little aggressive and hard to enforce at the end. So if you get a medical hardship for 1 year and you had to hook up water and sewer and put a manufactured home on, you could do that all the way to use. We allow, you know, multifamily, some, you know, and hardship, we want to change that back to just a temporary, but somebody could stay in an RV for 1 year under a medical hardship that meets those standards. And at the end of that year, it's a lot easier to take that RV off than to try to get them done. Six ten. So staff recommendation is to change that from temporary manufactured dwelling to temporary RV. Friendly and customer friendly hardships.
Cynthia Hancock on Preble Way.
Yeah.
Regarding these rules with the RV temporary housing, mm-hmm. Because I'm in a subdivision, I'm in Peaceful Pines subdivision, mm-hmm. and the subdivision bylaws says that no, you can't have somebody living in an RV on your property. So does the bylaws for the subdivision take precedence over the new laws for the city planning thing? What takes precedence?
City limits.
I'm on Preble Way.
Yeah,
so your bylaws, your homeowner has its code, and then whatever your homeowner association are going to be in a legal suit with your.
Okay,
homeowners,
so is that saying, because we only have just a few.
We enforce our code.
Have precedence over
right.
Okay,
we
don't have a homeowners association because we're so small. And anyway, but so in other words, the bylaws for the subdivision would take precedence first over what
well,
the city.
Well, no, the city, our code we enforce. So if RVs, then you. But there's grant marks in the city.
Okay.
So we're not like kicking everybody out of their RVs.
Okay, right. What I'm getting at is my subdivision bylaw says there is no RVs that you can have on the property to live in.
Right.
So what I want to know is if I went ahead and I had an RV,
city doesn't
would
allow
I,
RVs, people to live in RVs, so we
for a medical reasoning, which you were just talking
for
about.
For a medical
right.
reason,
that's
we
different.
Allow, so then you would have to fight your
the
bylaws.
Subdivision bylaw
yeah.
things
yeah.
in
yeah.
order for that.
Yeah.
Then.
Bylaws
and it would only be
person.
For 1 year.
Well, right,
so.
I understood that. I just wanted to make sure who would I go to.
Yeah.
It would be just this homeowners
yeah.
associate or whatever first,
yeah.
right.
and
yes.
then go from there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Again, talking about it. Right. That was, I think, all
that
I
that was
had
the last one?
That I have, unless you guys.
Right, Melissa?
You do, and you have a draft motion in your staff report on page 11.
Last page on your
11-11. Okay, I need a motion from the board. Well, exhibit A. The new LPDC with the following changes and additions. And 15-104-070, the changing to RV rather than manufactured dwelling on that item. So on 6-10,
yeah, the containers. That's the last
104 of that,
yeah.
or as otherwise approved by the
15-104-070. We want to make to the motion. Okay. Can I get a motion from somebody to
propose a comprehensive amendment to the
2-020?
15.80.060. That's the complete motion. Now can we vote on that?
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. We'll pass it and we'll send it on to the city council for their vlog. A little confusing at times. Okay, so that brings to close the number 7. Now, Melissa, you got anything else under that? Anything?
If you have questions about this code, I am always available. So,
okay, so that closes number 7, and we'll go on to 8. Other matters, one of those matters probably added this agenda. Any other matters that you might want to bring up now? Closed. Okay.
Thank
you, everybody, for coming. I said it was a little bit confusing at times, even to us. So, I appreciate your input, though, very much.